And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray and rock god Rick Mexa.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here. Rock god Rick is down in Panama right now with the Pesca Panama Group Cast Tours and having a good old time, I'm sure. And in the studio with us, Mr. Bill Varney, surf fishing expert, literally wrote the book. The book is The Light Line Revolution, Surf Fishing, The Complete Guide to Surf Fishing the California Coast. How far up the California coast?
All the way up, to the very tip.
To the very tip.
It's really, you know.
Northern California, too.
That's a misnomer. I would say maybe I'll change that from Canada to the tip of Baja.
Okay.
Because really.
To the tip of Baja.
To the tip of Baja. And maybe if I go traveling more down Mazatlan, Acapulco to go even farther
there,
down.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe we'll go all the way down to Panama.
Why not?
We'll give.
There's got to be some good fishing in the surf there.
Oh, absolutely. Might be a little scary even.
Yeah, might be indeed. We're giving away two of the books to two lucky callers. And one of those callers, in addition to the book, is going to win the AFCO Performance Shirts, AFCO Fish Feed, all courtesy of AFCO. I love those things. Can't wait to be. I'll be wearing those in about a week and a half here on the Royal Star on our 11-day fly-down, fly-back trip. AFCO Performance stuff is the best. If you haven't worn it, it is truly amazing, especially those AFCO Performance shorts. It's really, really good. And one lucky caller is going to win that package along with the book. One line open. You want to get through. It's 877-792-1090, 877-792-1090. And when a local line pops open, 858-457-1090, 858-457-1090. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones. Kenny in Garden Grove, you're next up. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Kenny.
I got a good one for you, Bill. A friend and I were fishing Santa Ana River jetties. You know, we're Newport Heights and me doing a little perch fishing, catching a lot of small perch, silver-dollar size stuff, light line. Friends bring a fish in, and big bendo, 12-pound striped bass.
Nice. Ate the surf perch?
Yeah. Ate the perch.
Ate the perch.
Makes you think that's what you want to use for bait from now on.
Yeah, hey, what do you think that fish came from? Maybe from one of the back bays or something? Or I don't think it would come up the river jetty, up the riverbed there, I don't think.
Well, you know, that's not the first striper that's been caught in that area. Many of them have been caught over the years there.
Right in that zone, right?
Right in that zone. Actually, Gundy for years has talked about fishing underneath the diving birds and the schooling bait.
Yeah.
But, you know, really the big story about that is that striped bass have been caught along the coast for years here, and many small ones. I mean, up to just a couple of years ago, the biggest one I'd ever seen was 24 inches taken from the surf, until just two summers ago when the editor of my book, Brad Beyer, good friend of mine and a superb fisherman, he'll be the first to tell you taught me everything I know. He was fishing down in the exact same area you were fishing, and on 6-pound test, he caught a 46-inch, 40-pound striped bass.
40-pound striped bass.
6-pound test.
Wow.
9 o'clock at night on a small strip of squid, of all things. And oddly enough, when we thought the fish was a record, would have been a state record, but when he went to take it to the DFG, he found out that they had not set a category for it yet. So the next fish, whether it's 1 pound or so, will be the striped bass record.
Wow.
So he took it home to eat it, which he did, and when he cleaned it and he opened it, he found the most interesting thing inside. Rather than sardines and anchovy and squid, it was full of sidewinder crabs.
Is that right?
So
and
you
what
never
time
know.
Of year did he catch it?
And that was in the summer. So that
in
was
the summer?
I believe that was in July, I think.
And didn't you say don't fish sidewinder crabs in the summer?
I said, don't fish them, and here they were eating them. And of course, that striper was eating them from up in the Santa Ana River, no doubt, and then also along the jetties there
along
in Newport.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Wow. How often do you hear of stripers being caught?
I see normally about a dozen a year caught here in Southern California.
Kind of incidental catch.
It's kind of an incidental catch.
Yeah. All right. Kenny, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Let's go ahead and jump back at the phones. Rick in Mission Viejo. You're next up, Rick. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Hi, Bill. This is Rick Chalmers from the Fibbers Fishing Club. I've gone to some of your seminars and things like that. I was interested. I've been to your beach seminars, and I was just kind of wondering if you ever did a seminar that might show us how to, like, catch the ghost shrimp and things like that.
Hey, Rick, it's great to hear from you, and good to see you at the show.
Thank you.
You know, I haven't had a seminar. That would be a great seminar of collecting bait.
Collecting
of course,
bait, yeah, because that's kinds part of the trick.
It really is.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And sometimes bait fishing is better than fishing.
Yeah, it is. Especially like when you're pumping ghost shrimp and stuff, it can be pretty fun.
It can be fun. Yeah. And you know, when you collect something, it's a good feeling. But you know, we could have a session for hours on each individual one, you know, how to catch sand crabs and where to find them and keep them alive and so forth. I have not done that yet, and one of the reasons I haven't done that is we may impact the resource if all of us are down there doing it.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I might leave it up to people to certainly ask me questions about it that I'd be happy to talk about. But as taking a whole group would be kind of a difficult proposition because many of these areas that we get bait in can be easily impacted by taking too much bait. And unfortunately, people in the government have taken away some of our best areas and some of the areas where most of these creatures would spawn and then feed into public areas. So we're getting more and more limited on what's available.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense, Bill. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. And thanks, Bill, too, for your concern with the environment, too, because indeed sport fishermen can have an impact if they go en masse to one area, especially when the powers have taken away areas and closed off areas that basically concentrate people into impacting these other areas much harder.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sorry you've got me on my soapbox now, but
no, it's a fact, these people that we're talking about the MLPAs now and a lot of the estuaries were closed due to the MLPAs, and that's concentrated people into these estuaries that are not closed.
That's right.
And
that's
it's
exactly
impacted
right.
the resource there.
It has. And, you know, besides the MLPAs, there's been other things that have been done by the powers that be, one of which is recently in the Newport area behind or adjacent to the Santa Ana River in a huge estuary that was the place where all of the ghost shrimp were spawning. And then those microorganisms would come out and feed into the bay and so forth. That has all been dug up to build a small island for lease turn to land on, and they killed absolutely billions of ghost shrimp, crabs, clams, and everything else. And when you look at their environmental report, which I've thoroughly read, it states that it will have an impact on that, but they have no idea what impact it actually has. It really eliminates all the food source of all the fish that come up there to spawn, who will go to another area and out of spawn if they spawn at all. So,
and now, isn't that a food source for the least tern also?
Absolutely.
Which is why they were there in the first place?
That's absolutely right.
So this is, you know, I wish they'd use science to make these decisions instead of just using, like, oh, let's just close the area because it's impacted too hard.
That's exactly right.
It's just silliness.
It really is.
How else can you explain it? But these extreme environmental groups are just, they're just stupid.
They
Period.
Are. And you know, they're just emotionally based. They want to, like, base their decision on their emotion rather than on scientific facts.
Yeah.
And we all know this whole MLPA thing has been caused by water quality. It has nothing to do with the fishermen depleting it.
No.
You know, and if you go back to Los Angeles in 1880, when the original sewer plant, which we were talking a little bit about earlier, was developed, from 1880 to about 1980, as much as 800 million gallons a day of untreated sewage was dumped into the Santa Monica Bay. Now, to think about how much sewage that is, that's enough to fill up to the very top the Rose Bowl on a daily basis pumped into the ocean.
Wow.
And it's not that the water is so dirty from the standpoint of biologically or chemically, although that is a concern, but it's the turbidity, or as the rest of us know, the murkiness that it creates in the water that eliminates the sunlight, which doesn't allow algae to grow, which is the basic feeding block of fish in marine life. So the marine life and the food chain has moved on, and as have many of the fish.
So what you're saying that most of us know is that urban runoff, sewage, that type of thing is far, far more of an impact than any fisherman, commercial or recreational, could ever have on the coast.
Absolutely huge impact.
And that's a fact.
That's an absolute fact.
And I'm going to bet you that every single one of those people that was fighting for the MLPA, the extreme environmental groups, and all the ones that want to save the coast, and you know, all these groups, you know, Surf Rider, I mean, that's like just a front for an extreme environmental group.
That's
surfer.
Right.
I'm a surfer. You're a surfer. Those of you that are surfers and you're a member of Surf Rider and you're a fisherman, don't, because it's a front for an extreme environmental group.
Absolutely.
Period. But all of those people flush their toilets. All of those people drive their cars and do other things that are impacting that resource. And you know what? If they're going to fight for those types of things, they shouldn't flush their toilets. They shouldn't drive their cars.
That's absolutely right. I mean, who's to blame for this? All of us are to blame for this.
No question.
And think about it. If you live in Palos Verdes or you live in Pacific Palisades, you probably drive a brand new car, which you park in the garage. But if you live in Linwood or Compton or South LA or any of those areas, you don't have that luxury. You probably drive an old car. It's dripping oil and gas and radiator fluid and whatever on the road. And every time it rains, it goes into the storm drain. So it's go directly into the ocean. Mm-hmm. And then you compound that with 800 million gallons just in LA County of, you know, they do secondary treatment of sewage, but it doesn't reduce all the turbidity in it. That's where your problem is.
Yeah. And you think about all those old Volvos that those extreme environmentalists are driving.
That's right.
Let's go ahead and jump. Let's get off the soapbox here and jump back in the phones. Bruce in Huntington Beach, you're on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Bill, could you go over hooking the sand crab again? And on the second pass, do you put the hook point through the shell?
I do. I will go over it real quickly, Bruce. What you want to do is you want to start with putting the feet down and the back up. The skinny end of the sand crab would be its head. The wider end would be its tail, basically. And then if you turned it over and looked on the bottom, you'll see its legs. And then at the tail end of it, the wider end of the sand crab, you'll see a digger, which is probably about, depending on the size of it, about a 1-inch long digger. What you're going to want to do is turn it over so its feet are facing down, take the hook and punch it all the way through the skinny end of the sand crab, and then pull the hook all the way through so the eye of the hook is just laying on the hole that you've poked through it, and then turn the hook forward, punch it through that digger, and then the very tip of the hook you want to punch it through the shell. You need no more than that. It doesn't need to go through the barb, just as long as the tip of the hook is punched through. And the reason you want to do that is if you've ever gone surf fishing, you bring your bait in and you see, you know, all the bait is chewed around the hook, but the hook is still there. Maybe the shell is still there. What happens is if that doesn't punch through the hook, when that fish bites down on that bait, and surf fish don't bite on bait. They actually inhale the bait into the back of their throat and crush it in their throat and then spit out the pieces and eat the individual pieces. When they go to crush it, it actually spins underneath that shell, and that shell acts as a shield and keeps it from hooking them. So I always want to make sure to just poke it through a little bit through the shell. You're ready to go.
Will that kill the sand crab?
Do you keep the bait moving, or do you let it sit for a few moments between movements?
I'll almost always keep the bait moving. The most important thing in surf fishing is you always want to be tight to your sinker. You never want to have slack in your line. Mm-hmm. Whenever you feel a nibble or a pull or a bite on your line, that means the bait's way down in their throat. By the time you feel two or three nibbles, they've already spit it out and they're eating the individual pieces. So I will always be slowly retrieving my bait in, with the exception of when the water is pulling out and I feel a pull against my line, I'll allow it to sit at that point. And then once that goes away, I'll bring it into shore.
Very good. Thank you.
All right, Bruce. Thanks a lot. Good question. Thanks a lot for call. Braided line, monofilament, what are you fishing?
Gosh, not this discussion again.
Yeah, here we go.
We go back and forth and back and forth. Well, you know, normally I don't like braided line when I'm bait fishing, particularly because there's no stretch in the line. And when I'm pulling the waves, the fish in through the surf, and you have an in surge, you've got an out pulling surge, you need the bend of the rod, you need your drag to work, and you need the line to be able to stretch, or you're going to pull the hook on the fish. The exception to that would be fishing hard baits. If I've got a hard bait, I've got basically 9 hooks in it. I'm not so worried about ever pulling a hook there. So I like both of the lines. I'm really looking forward to the day when the braided line companies, I'm sure they're working on it now, put a little polyester in the line, you know, tear up some of those old Sansa belt slacks that our high school coaches used to wear and put it in the line. And then you're going to have braid with some stretch, because we love the braid because it has such a it has a very good sensitivity.
Oh, amazing sensitivity. You can feel everything.
You can feel absolutely everything with it, but it doesn't have the stretch. So we
and the other thing on a spinning reel, too, you use like Power Pro and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't coil like monofilament,
it
too,
doesn't
right?
coil like
Which
monofilament.
Which is important in the surf, right?
It is, although we do have some problems with wind knots with it that we don't really have so much with a monofilament.
Yeah.
But you're right. It does come off the reel. And with some of these new guides that we're going to be using here, it really is going to fly off the reel. You'd be amazed at, you know, that super slick, how far you can cast that.
Now you're helping develop a new rod series, right?
Right. Working with Seeker to develop at least 5 new surf rods.
Wow.
From 7 to 8.5 feet, and then a conventional rod. And we're probably halfway through with the process. You know,
okay.
I think in some ways, Darren and I are perfectionists. We want to have just the right thing out before we send it out on the market. We're hoping we'll be ready in early June. That's our
Darren's
goal.
A great guy.
He is a fantastic
and
guy.
And really a real hardcore fisherman, too.
He really is a hardcore fisherman. It was great down at the show in San Diego. We got to go surf fishing in the morning before the Saturday show with David Choate, with Chris, several of the other pros, and those are great guys to have on the beach.
Did you catch any fish?
We did. We caught some fish.
All right.
It was great to see the Chunk Master catching perch.
Indeed. Well, when we come back, more of your phone calls. You want to get through, here's your chance. Been a busy morning. Here's your chance to get through at 877-792-1090 and one line open at 858-457-1090. This is Let's Talk Hookup at Southern California Sport Fishing Voice on the Mighty 1090.
Like all of the rest, same rig and setup, same pound test. So tell me, why is everybody getting bit, except me?
Pete and Rick here for Poway Valley Collision. A bunch of our listeners have told us stories of how well they were treated by our friends Jim and Mary.
That's right, Pete. Jim and Mary are the best. We know you may not need them today, but when accidents happen, no matter where you live in Southern California, it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision.
Indeed, our listeners get special discounts that can save you hundreds of dollars on your car or truck repair. Just tell them you listen to the show and you get the deal.
They work with all insurance companies, including Auto Club, Geico, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. Just bring your car or truck to them and let Poway Valley Collision do their magic. I've had them repair my truck, and I'm telling you, they're the best.
Get your vehicle fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. Tell them that you listen to Let's Talk Hookup and get an extra special deal that can save you big bucks. Poway Valley Collision, 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check powayvalleycollision.com.
Want to catch the yellowfin tuna of a lifetime but don't have weeks at a time to commit to trying? Then check out Journeyman Sport Fishing in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Based in Cowtown, La Cruz de Guanacaste, Puerto Vallarta, Journeyman offers an angling dream come true. Outstanding world-class fishery, an immaculately maintained and outfitted boat, ultra-limited competition at the rail, and a Journeyman crew that has the experience and passion to make your angling dreams a reality. A 2.5-day trip offers 2 full days of fishing from sunup to sundown and only requires 4 days away from your other commitments. In the 2011 and 2012 season, Journeyman has landed over 40 yellowfin tuna over 200 pounds, 5 over 300, and 1 over 400. This year's big tuna thus far is 362 pounds. Check us out on the web at journeymansportfishing.com or contact them at 619-571-1979. Journeyman Sport Fishing, where angling dreams become reality.
This is Captain Art Taylor of Searcher Sport Fishing. If you're looking for a fishing adventure this year, we have a variety of trips to meet your schedule and your budget. 1.5-day local trips to 9-day fish down flyback. And we have our popular ultra-limited load trip. The Searcher has a great crew, excellent food, and an RSW system to preserve your catch and more. Contact Celia at 619-226-2403. That's 619-226-2403. Or check us out at SearcherSportFishing.com.
This is Captain Brian Sims from the Royal Star. I make my living with my eyes on the water, and one of my most important tools is a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses. The difference is impossible to miss. When you put on a pair of Maui Jims, you'll say, wow, instantly. Glare is gone. UV that can damage the eyes is gone. The ocean's true color comes shining through like never before. It's bolder, richer, crisper, with more contrast and clarity. That's the Maui Jim difference. Come see the difference for yourself at your local tackle shop or check out MauiJim.com.
Watching unwanted rockfish float away is not only wasting our precious resources, it's just plain bad. Now EcoLeaser has developed a device that easily and effectively brings rockfish back to the proper depth for live release. It's called RockLease. With the RockLease, you simply attach it to the lower jaw of the fish, descend the fish to 100 feet, then a quick hook set, and the fish swims away. RockLease should be on every boat, and if you're on a sport boat, why not bring RockLease along? It's inexpensive and easy to use. Pick up RockLease at Fisherman's Landing Tackle, The Long Fin, Pacific Edge, or at ecoleaser.com.
The best charter boats, free parking, and fully stocked tackle shop. Just a few of the reasons Seaforth Sport Fishing is the choice for your fishing trip. Come aboard the top charter boats in Southern California, like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Eclipse, Legend, Outer Limits, Pacific Star, El Gato Dos, Alexis, Pride, Privateer, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half, three-quarter, and full-day trips available. Check out the full-service tackle store at Seaforth Sport Fishing, and it's all run by fishermen for fishermen. 1717 Quivera Road, just off Mission Bay Drive in Mission Bay. Book online at seaforthlanding.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here, along with Mr. Bill Varnay, that literally wrote the book on surf fishing, talking surf fishing, and speaking, talking, like I said, next Saturday, Gary Graham, Western Outdoor News writer and fishing legend and Mag Bay expert, Baja on the Fly expert, is going to be here in the studio. Great guest and great guy, and boy, Gary's been there, done that. You know, he's an amazing fellow. And then next Sunday, a real treat, Captain Fred Huber from the Daily Double, half-day boat out of Point Loma Sport Fishing, is going to be in the studio. And Freddie is amazing. He's been doing that for a long time. And I'll tell you, the way the rockfish season has been going and catching fish and, you know, the outlook for half-day fishing this summer and spring, Fred's going to have some real good insights. So that's going to be a great weekend of shows next Saturday and Sunday right here on the Mighty 1090. And check this out, the Fish Dope Tip of the Week from Captain Mark Wish. And this report is sponsored in part by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Get the finest fish processing while you wait from your local, your long range, your private boat trip. It's a fact. No one in San Diego takes better care of your catch than the experts at Fisherman's Processing. Flaying, smoking, jerky, can. Hey, just see them when your trip returns to the San Diego landings or visit them at Point Loma's Liberty Station. Check out fishermansprocessing.com for more details. And let's get that fishdope.com tip of the week from Captain Mark Wish. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Pete. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Mark.
So I had something else planned, but I was listening to the show earlier, and you guys were talking about catching smelts for bait, which is a very worthy activity and one that I've spent countless hours at. But I thought I would share a little story with you guys and the secret trick from 25 years ago I learned about catching smelts here. So we're staying down on San Diego Bay, and in the morning I'd walked out to that little pier at Shelter Island with my morning coffee, just taking a little stroll, and I was watching the guys catching smelt with those wire mesh smelt traps, which everybody's seen. You got kind of a little quarter-inch hardware cloth, a little cone on each end, you throw some bread in it, and drop them down the water, and hopefully a few baits swim in, which they will. And so there were several guys out there doing that, and you know, but mostly were struggling. But one guy his smelt trap was loaded, his bucket was loaded. So I got to visit with him, and once he saw that I was really interested, he was kind enough to share the concept in a secret bait. So here's the deal, and I have been doing this for 25 years. It seriously works. So most of the guys just throw a handful of bread in there, and, you know, you can get by with that. But what this guy was doing was you go to the market, you get cheap tuna fish, the cheapest tuna fish packed in oil, some Velveeta cheese or other soft cheese, and some cheap white bread. Then you mix this stuff into a paste, and then you form the paste around the inside of the cone on either end of your smelt trap, on the inside, not on the outside. You kind of form it right on the opening. So then when you put your trap in the water, you've got a smell that appeals to the fish, and it's located right on the opening to the trap, and the smelt just swim right in. It's magic. I was sitting there watching him walloping them, and the other guys, you know, the smelt's picking at the bread that's down on the end of the cone where, you know, they were attracted to it, but they couldn't get in. So for you guys fishing inshore, smelt fishing, and like Bill was saying, that smelt's a fantastic bait for those local halibuts. there's a tip if you got access to a little dock or a pier, or you can do it off the rocks. Just talk to your smelt trip out there in the current. Make sure that the thing is oriented fore and aft in the current, and you'll get them.
Wow, great tip. That's a brilliant tip. Who would have thought of it, Mark? Yeah, indeed. All right, Mark, fishdope.com. You want to save $20 on a membership, a new membership at fishdope.com. You can get these kinds of tips and much, much more at fishdope.com. The code this week, tacos with an S, tacos plural.
Tacos plural.
Yeah,
great.
Tacos. Save $20 on a fishdope.com membership. And how do we find you, Mark? Get great tips on catch and smelt.
We are on the... In fact, I'm going to Promar tomorrow to get some more smelt traps. We're actually out. Let's see. We are on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger in Huntington Beach.
Yeah,
and
that's a spot.
By the big Chevron station. 714-840-4262 is the number at the store, and the website, PacificEdgeTackle.com. And, hey, I got a quick question for Bill. I heard you mention earlier about the guys diving inside some estuary. Were you talking about diving in the Bolsa Chica one on the north side of PCH Bridge there?
No, I was talking about the Talbert Estuary.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, before they opened that, before they dredged that about a year and a half ago, they sent up the a crew of marine biologists from Long Beach State and to do basically a fish counting up there. And they said it was unbelievable how many corbina they saw up inside there.
Hmm.
Wow.
Just piles and piles of them, the guy said.
That's neat. Well, thanks, Mark. Appreciate a great tip there for smelt fishermen everywhere. And we'll talk to you next Saturday with that great fishdope.com report.
Okay, you got it, Pete.
All right, appreciate that. Now, a guy who's been taking notes on catching smelt, Captain Frank Lopresti. Mm-hmm. Did you catch that, Mark?
You know what? I used to fish smelt off the pier in Newport Beach when I was a kid.
Of course. Yep. Yeah, that's a good tip, though. You know, I think maybe some big cows will eat that Velveeta cheese, too. What do you think?
You know what? Those cows will eat anything.
Well, you just came back from a great trip aboard the Royal Polaris. You got them, huh?
Yeah, it was a great trip. And, you know, I just wanted to call in now because we had because we don't have Wi-Fi yet, we won't have it for until June. It was very difficult to get a report to you. So... we started outside the Roca Partida area, didn't do very much there. We had a few nice tuna, a few wahoo. Then we went out to Clarion, and Clarion wasn't very good. We picked up a few wahoo, no tuna at all. And from there we went to Hurricane. And our first day was just phenomenal. We had 64 tuna, and the biggest was 198. And we had 85 wahoo, and we never pulled the anchor once.
Oh, my.
Never trolled. We had those 85 wahoo all on the anchor.
Wow.
So it was really fun fishing all day. You caught them on jigs. You caught them on sardines. You caught them on chunks. You caught them on everything.
My goodness.
What a great day of fishing. And then from there, we just kept on picking. And we actually, I felt we could have finished the trip there, but at that point, we only had four fish over 200 pounds, and the guys were, wanting to go for the big boys. So it was pretty much a vote to go to Clarion, and at that point, we had probably cut off 25 to 30 fish in that 100 to 130-pound class. Most of the fish was from 70 to 130. There was a nice dose of 170 to 190s and just a few over 2. And like I said, the wahoo fishing just persisted to where we ended up with full limits with everybody on the boat. So great fishing. And once we went to Clarion, the first morning we had a nice fish. George Kutchel had a 295.2 on the kite, which was a beautiful fish. And we thought we had made the right move. We had another one around 155, and that was it. And then from there, it just got very, very difficult. We had a few 70 to 100 pounders and a few more wahoo. And finally ended up leaving Clarion and running up to Alaos Rocks and finished off our last day there, catching a bunch of nice yellowtail and some nice cabrilla. And that was our trip, Pete.
Wow, sounds like a great trip, Frank. What's next for the Royal Polaris?
Well, the boat's already left. They're on a fly-down, fly-back. And... so they'll be heading out on that. They'll be to Cabo soon. And we also have another fly-down, fly-back that leaves on April 26th that has two openings.
Wow.
So actually, it has three openings. So
is that a 12-day, Frank?
All they have to do is call our office.
Is that a 12-day?
It's a 12-day if you're flying down and flying back, an 18-day if you ride the boat down and back.
Okay, that's a pretty good deal. So just call the office and jump on that trip. It's a great time of the year down there for big fish and great wahoo fishing and beautiful weather, right?
That, well, you know, we had, I think on our 18-day trip, Pete, we had 2 days of rough weather, and that was on the way home. Other than that, it was the most gorgeous weather I've ever had on the trip. At Hurricane Bank, everywhere we went, it was anywhere from 5 knots of breeze to 8 knots of breeze. Just absolutely perfect, so where you didn't get too hot and you enough wind where you could still fly the kite. It was just gorgeous.
Gotta love it.
Okay, Pete, yeah. Take care.
All right, Captain Frank Lopresti, Royal Polaris, thanks a lot for the report. Appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
Very much. All right, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones. They want to talk to Bill, talk some surf fishing. Let's go to Santa Paula, talk to Sonny. Thanks, Sonny, for joining us. Appreciate the call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Sonny.
My question relates to your suggestion for the size and pattern on a swim bait for halibut in the surf, please.
Well, my suggestion on size certainly is about a 5-inch swim bait is a great size to use. All of these Lucky Craft lures that people are using hard baits are 110 centimeters, which is approximately about five inches. What you want to do as far as colors, you want to match the colors of your swim baits to what's occurring naturally in that area. So if the bait that they're eating in that area is orange and browns, those are the type of colors that you want to use. You certainly can't go wrong with sardine, anchovy, and of course smelt and grunion. Any of those colors that imitate those baits are the perfect colors for using in the surf.
Indeed.
Oh, okay.
Right.
That sounds pretty good. And I have heard that a rainbow trout pattern can be effective, and I wonder if you've heard similar report on that.
Absolutely, a rainbow trout pattern can be effective. A lot of fellas take the Lucky Craft and Rapala lures. They actually sand them down in some cases and repaint them, change out maybe the hooks if they choose to. And I've seen a couple recently that were exactly the same look as a perch, and they work very well for halibut. If you want to get a little bit more information on that, if you go to fishingnetwork.net and you look for postings from Arthur, who's Wingnut on there. Wingnut, he is by far the guru of gurus when it comes to halibut fishing in the surf.
Oh, really?
And there's some very good examples in there of touch-ups, changes, and things that he's done to Lucky Craft and hard baits, and actually flies, too, that have caught a lot of fish for him in the surf. So I definitely take a look at that.
Wow, that's a good tip. Thanks a lot for the call from Santa Paula. Appreciate that very much. Tom in Temecula, you're next up on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Bill, I've got a question. I'm going to be traveling down to Baja, you know, later in the fall, and I'm concerned about bringing a rod, and I don't want to pay the extra fare for another carry-on. Have you got any recommendations for a collapsible or a travel rod? And what's your preference for surf fishing, bait casting reels or spinners?
Well, regarding the reels, it depends on what I'm fishing with. If I'm fishing live baits or grubs or smaller baits, I'll almost always fish a spinning reel. If I'm fishing a crocodile or I'm fishing a hard bait or a swim bait, many times a conventional reel like a Corrado on a 7 or 8 foot rod with normally 10-pound test or braided line on it. And as far as, you know, what you can pick up down there, as far as rods are concerned, I'm not sure where you're going and where you're staying. They may have them available there, but I would always suggest you take your own reels with you. That way you're familiar with your reel, you know all the line is new on it, and, you know, you might have one or two that you can take just in case one breaks down.
And I tell you, I always travel with a travel rod, and the G. Loomis Escape Series, unbelievable. They're really, really fantastic. You know, they're not cheap. G. Loomis is top line, but the feel on that G. Loomis rod is unbelievable, and they travel very, very well. If you're looking for something a little less expensive, maybe a little heavier, Akuma makes a real nice travel rod. You might look at those, and I believe it's the Nomad series by Akuma. But I'll tell you, I would love to see G. Loomis make a heavier travel rod, something that would fish, you know, 20, 30-pound test, something a little heftier. But most of their travel rods, you know, are up to 20, 25-pound test, something like that. But certainly for Baja surf fishing, ideal. That's what I'd
right,
take, is that
perfect.
Akuma spinning travel rod, the escape rod, or excuse me, the G Loomis escape travel rod with spinning reel with like a 15-pound test, which you said
perfect.
Is about right for them.
Yep,
there.
12 to 16 is great.
There you go. All right, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Cliff in La Mesa, you're on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. This has been wonderful. I've picked up so much good information.
Thank
I got a couple
you.
Of
Thank you.
Questions. One about the retrieve on a Lucky Craft or a Crocodile. It's a steady retrieve. And also, what is the ideal tide for fishing?
Oh, gosh. That the tide is always... Not the tide question.
The tide question.
Okay, the first question regarding your retrieve on the Crocodile or the Lucky Craft or the Rapala or whatever you're using. You want to vary your retrieves. You know, fish may take a very slow retrieve one day. They may take a quick retrieve. And so this is what I do. I first start by finding where I'm going to fish, and I'll fan cast the area. So I'll cast straight out, I'll cast to my left, and I'll cast to my right. So I'm covering as much area as possible. And I'll start with a slow retrieve. I'll go to a fast retrieve, and then I'll use a stop and start retrieve where I'm pulling my rod up and then reeling down my line, pulling the rod, reeling down the line, so it gives the bait a stop and start. And then once you get a bite, you'll get an idea of what they're going on for that day, whether it's fast, slow, or a stop and start. And then if I'm not getting fish there and I've cast there 20, 30, 40 times, I'm going 100 yards down the beach or around the other side of the rocks and trying that side.
Wonderful.
Does that help out?
That helps. That's great. Also, just one quick one. Do you tie your braid right to the lure, or do you put a little fluorocarbon?
I would normally tie it directly to the lure, although if you wanted a little shock resistance, I would put maybe 2 feet on there. You don't want to be casting your lure out and having to worry about that knot going through the guides. So be sure if you do have a short top shot there, it's short enough where it's on the outside of your guides.
The other thing a piece of fluorocarbon would aid in is if you hook a halibut and he swallows the lure, the PowerPro braided lines don't have the abrasion resistance that a piece of fluorocarbon or monofilament would, and you may get bit off, right?
Absolutely. And the other thing is a lot of times with a braid, you can have it just rub against the rocks, and the braid breaks itself also.
Yeah.
So it's good to have that top shot for the abrasion resistance.
All right. Very good. I hope that helps you out. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones, talk to Phil calling us from Arizona. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning, Pete. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Hey, yeah, good morning. Hey, say, you know, when I was a little squirt, I'm 56 now, but my grandmother's sister, my Aunt Stella, she had a house there just up from Wiley's Bay in Malibu, one of those piling houses. And when I was a kid, I used to fish there, and I used to catch a lot of buttermouth perch. I don't really hear the guys catching buttermouth perch anymore. What's going on with the species, and what's going on with that?
Well, you're about my same age, and I remember you because you used to fish off the balcony, right?
Yeah, I used to fish off the balcony,
yeah.
Sand crabs, or you crank the stairs down and go down to the beach, you know.
That's right. When you got a bigger one, you went down to the beach to net it or pull it up.
That's right. Yeah, man, they were great fish. They were good to eat, too. My grandmother used to fry them up there at the house.
Yeah, you're right. We're not seeing as many buttermouth as we had seen before. And I have seen them all over from Malibu right up by Wiley's there and certainly up north of there, up in Santa Barbara. We've got them down at Huntington Beach. They're all around the Long Beach Harbor. Not many people target them. And you're right. I'm not catching as many and in an incidental way as in the past. I'm not sure what has happened with them. I would be hard for me to believe that they're impacted from any other way than the turbidity in the water. I think from a fisherman's standpoint, and there's more structure now than there ever was. So there's probably a fairly healthy group of them. The question is, where are they and what are they eating? And that's probably one of the biggest things I see and talk to people about in the surf. Oh, I go down to the beach. I don't catch anything. There's no fish here. Well, the thing is, there's always fish there. There's lots of fish there. It's just whether they're eating and what they're eating. So that's maybe why we haven't caught so many of them recently.
Yeah, true. I just hope they're still, the numbers are up. I guess you can still take them then, right?
Yes, you can still take them. And over the past couple of years, I've seen some beautiful buttermouth, some big ones, 14, 15 inches.
Wow.
So they're definitely out there.
Are you listening to us streaming on the web or on your iPhone?
No, I'm on the laptop, but I'm in the other room right now, Pete.
All right. Very good. All right. Thanks, Bill,
right, guys,
for calling us from Arizona.
Care,
good
thanks,
question. Appreciate that very much. You know, like Bill, we have a lot of listeners that are listening to us outside the broadcast area of the Mighty 1090, and you can take it with you wherever you go. There's multiple ways. You can stream live right off the website. Just click on the Listen Live on the website. It takes you to the Mighty 1090 website, which gives you an automatic streaming on your computer, in your office, in your home, what on your iPad, whatever. But if you're on an iPad or you're on an iPhone, it's easier to just download the Mighty 1090 app. Just go to the store and click in, type in Mighty 1090 and download the new app. The new app is fantastic, as well as if you have an Android device, too, the Mighty 1090. Go to the store, download the Mighty 1090 app, and you can take it with you wherever you go streaming. It's just amazing. And then, of course, if you miss a show, you can go to our website, hookup1090.com, and click on our archives page. We try and update those archives as soon as possible for you, and you can listen 724 on demand. And if you want to subscribe, we do have podcasts. So you just go to your iTunes store, and you subscribe free to the Let's Talk Hookup podcast, and they're automatically downloaded to your iTunes store. It's amazing technology.
That is amazing.
Today, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
Yeah. And you know, I got to credit a guy who's done a lot for the fishing world and a guy that you know, Mike Lum. Mike Lum was the first one that turned me on to that, the iTunes app.
Oh, okay.
And the iTunes deal and the iTunes, actually the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Not the podcast, but actually the app on the iPhone. And he says, whenever I go, because he travels all the time, and it works very, very well.
I don't
know
what we'd do without Mike.
No.
He really points us
Mike's
in the right direction when we need him.
Yeah, he's a good man.
He's a fantastic guy.
Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones and talk to Larry calling us from Fallbrook. Larry, thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning.
Good morning, Pete. Good morning, Bill. Bill, before I get to my question regarding an outfit, would you kindly spell your last name and give the complete title of your book again, please?
I sure will. My last name is spelled V as in Victor, A-R-N-E-Y. And if you go to Google and you put in Bill Varney and you put in surf fishing, all of my various pages will come up. And then you can also go to my website, fishthesurf.com, fishthesurf.com.
Fishthesurf.com.
Fishthesurf.com. And that's where you'll find all kinds of information about surf fishing, pictures of fish, a store where you can get the book and so forth. And the book is Surf Fishing, The Light Line Revolution.
Is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon, too.
It's in every tackle shop, and it's in Barnes & Noble.
iBook?
I'm not sure if it's iBook. Is iBook part of the Kindle?
Or is it Kindle?
It's Kindle.
Oh, you can.
It's Kindle.
So you can download it on your device.
You can download it on your device, and it's in color, which is nice.
Really?
On the Kindle.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I'll have to do that.
Which is great, because in when you print things in color, very, very expensive. And the thing about the Kindle is you can download it, and you see the pictures and the true meaning of the way that I took them, and the beautiful pictures and the colors and everything.
Wow, that's a good tip.
Yeah,
I'm a Kindle guy. I love reading.
It's a great thing to have. And
yeah,
a lot of people like both the book and the Kindle. They can take the Kindle on the road with them, and then have the book at home when they want to lay on bed and read.
Yeah, indeed. So the book is available at tackle stores too.
Yes, it's available at most every tackle store. 78 tackle stores.
Surf Fishing: The Light Line Revolution. Bill Varney, with not spelled like I spelled it, but it's V-A-R-N-E-Y.
That's right.
I spelled it with an A, and Mike Lump corrected me on that. So. All right. Does that cover you, Larry?
Oh, thank you. I did want to ask on an what you would recommend on an entry-level outfit with some growing room on a budget of $300.
Oh,
okay.
Do a lot with that.
You can do a lot with it. My suggestion would be to start off by looking for a medium-sized rod, a rod probably about 7.5 feet. You're going to have a line rating of about 4 to 12, 4 to 16 pound on that. It'll have a lure weight rating of normally 3/8 to 5/8 or 3/8 to 3/4 of an ounce lure weight. And, you know, my suggestion is you really want to maybe start out in the $100, $150 range. There's a lot of good rods on the market for that, particularly these steelhead rods. And then in June, when our rods come out, they should be right around that price category, I would presume. There might be a couple that you can get from Phoenix that are up in the $200, $250 range, and they've got a couple of good rods to look at also.
All right. Good tips. Thanks a lot for the call, Larry. Appreciate that very much. You know, our Let's Talk Hookup live broadcast at the San Diego County Ford Dealers was such a hit last year. We're doing it again this year, but we're only doing 4 this year. Last year we did 11.
Wow.
This year we're doing 4. And I have the date set, so mark your calendar. We're going to be at Encinitas Ford, our good buddy Mark Wheeler at Encinitas Boulevard and El Camino Real in Encinitas on May 25th. That's Memorial Day weekend. Saturday. All of these are Saturdays. We're going to be at Heller Ford, our good friends at Heller, also fishermen out there, on 4th of July weekend, which is July the Saturday, July the 6th. Then we'll be at Mossy Ford, another group of fishermen there in Pacific Beach there, on August the 3rd, the first Saturday in August. And then we'll wrap it up at El Cajon Ford, another great fishing community out there, on Labor Day weekend, August 31st. So we're going to have the Shimano Casting Contest, and I'm working on a big prize for that contest. So you want to be sure to mark your dates and come on out. It's going to be a lot of fun joining in on the Let's Talk Hookup San Diego County Ford Dealer Live broadcast out there. And don't forget, also, we'll be out at the Longfin in Orange. Of course, we'll be at Danta Docks on Sunday, April 21st. Ricky will be doing the live broadcast there. I'm sorry, I'll be on the Royal Star. But Ricky will be doing the live broadcast there at the Let's Talk Hookup booth there right in front of Fisherman's Landing. And then we'll be doing a live broadcast out at the Longfin in Orange for the Shimano Day at the Longfin in Orange. I believe that date on that is June the 9th. So be sure to mark your calendars for all those live broadcasts. Lots of fun. Come on out and see us. Brian in Westminster, you're next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Brian.
Bill, a question. I want to know if using any kind of scent on your lures in the surf is effective.
You know, using scent on your lures in the surf is very effective, and there's all kinds of different scents to use. I personally like to use taco sauce.
What?
And, you know, people say taco sauce, they wonder, you know, is that a brand? Or, well, it is if you're talking about Del Taco and Taco Bell. That's right. I use Del Taco.
You
or
use
taco.
Del Taco packaged taco sauce.
I do. I admit it. You know, my friend Brad, my editor of my book, way back in the 80s, used it for freshwater bass fishing, for dipping his worms. And he said, you know, I like it not only because it works, but if it's on a rock or the boat, I can just wash it off. It's perfectly natural. Did you ever wonder what you would do with those packs of hot sauce when they gave them to you at Taco Bell? And most people put them in the trash. Personally, I just throw them over my shoulder so they pile up in the back seat, so I've got them for
nice.
My scent. But I'll take two of those. Doesn't matter if they're super hot or mild. I'll squeeze them into a small zip top bag. And then with my grubs, probably every fifth cast, I'll dip them in there and I'll cast them out. And the reason that it works, and it's the same reason that all the scents that you buy in the stores work too, I presume, is that it contains both oil and vinegar. Oil holds the scent to a plastic object. So if you were to look at your grubs, when you get a pack of grubs, they always have oil on them. It keeps them from sticking together. So the oil holds it to it, and then the vinegar gives it flavor. So when the fish bites down on your lure, not only does it have the right feeling that it's soft like something they'd eat, but it has a flavor to them, which makes them hold on to it more, and you get many more hook sets that way.
I like it. Sounds good. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. And when we come back, we're going to wrap things up here with Mr. Bill, give a couple of great prizes away, tell you about next week's show. You stay tuned. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
A fishing trip to Alaska is an unforgettable experience. Each year, the trip that I just can't wait for is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka. Now in our 11th year with Kingfisher, every time I go, I marvel at how incredible it is. I take my dad, and we both feel the same way about our trip to Kingfisher Charters.
It is incredible how owner Seth Boner and his crew takes care of everything. Beyond the great fishing, what I like best is the moment you land, every detail of our Alaskan vacation is set. The large, comfortable rooms with panoramic views, the fantastic food, and the Kingfisher Charter boat fleet is one of Alaska's best.
You can catch all 5 species of Pacific salmon, including one of the largest runs of king salmon in the world. But my favorite by far, it's the trophy-sized rockfish, huge lingcod, and of course the giant Alaskan halibut. And their on-site fish processors expertly clean and vacuum pack all of your fish. It's all included in the price of your trip. You won't find a better fishing experience or a better value than Kingfisher Charters, proven year after year to be one of Let's Talk Hookup's most popular trips. Check out kingfishercharters.com for web specials and more information, or call 1-800-727-6136.
Hello, I'm Guy Harvey. With support from you, the Southern California Angler, and from my clothing partner, AFCO, my sportswear line continues to grow. My t-shirt designs include your local fish, such as calico bass, yellowtail, white sea bass, and halibut. In addition, you'll now find new items like hybrid shorts, dry release sun protection shirts, my Islander sandal, and much more. Thank you again for your support. It does help both me and AFCO fund our various fishery resource efforts. Working together, we can all help ensure a healthy resource and access to it.
This is Mark Rayer for Genren Sport Fishing. We've changed the venue and raised the bar in the East Cape. Come fish on one of my personal boats where attention's paid to every detail. Both twin-engine cruisers are fully equipped with Aquit reels and Calstar rods. My team has a passion for fishing. We like to get out early and are never in a hurry to get back. We pick up at all East Cape resorts, so let's go fishing. To book a trip that will exceed your expectations, it's teamgenren.com or call me at 310-308-5841.
AM Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Padres.
You can hang a star on that, baby.
San Diego's sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Congratulations, Kenny in Garden Grove. You win the book, Surf Fishing, the Light Line Revolution by Bill Varnay. And Rick in Mission Viejo, you win the book as well as the AFCO Performance Package that includes the AFCO Performance Shorts, the AFCO Performance Shirt, and the AFCO Fish Feet for your boots, all courtesy of AFCO. And, Bill, great show. It's amazing how popular surf fishing is because it's accessible to everybody and you don't need to spend a lot of money to go fishing.
It really is, and it's a lot of fun. It doesn't take your whole day, and
so
you can
relaxing.
Take your family down with you.
You can
it's
go
just
down
a great
for an
thing
hour
to do.
And enjoy yourself.
Look out to the sea. You're all by yourself.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling.
It's a really neat deal. So how does somebody get the book?
Well, they can get the book several ways. They can go to your local tackle shop. If they don't have it for any reason, please ask them, and we'll be able to send it down to them. You can go to Barnes & Noble. You can find it on Kindle. And then, of course, you can go to my website, fishthesurf.com, and you can find it there.
And you also do seminars and all kinds of stuff,
I do.
Too.
I have quite a few seminars coming up. I've got one 2 weeks from Wednesday for the Huntington Beach Harbor Fishing Club. That will be at Huntington Harbor Yacht Club. That's 2 weeks from Wednesday. They're raising some money for a good cause there. And then after that, we begin our On the Beach series. And that will be May, June, July, August, and September. We'll be having a seminar at Bolsa Chica, South Carlsbad State Beach. We'll be up in Ventura and then back down to Bolsa Chica. You can find all the information about those on my website. And in about 2 weeks, I'll have all the dates up there
okay.
for those On the Beach seminars. They are limited to just 40 or 50 people, so you do have to sign up fast.
Yeah, fishthesurf.com.
That's it.
Okay, thanks, Bill. We'll look forward to having you back. And we'll look forward to having you back next Saturday and Sunday. Great show next Saturday. Gary Graham, fishing legend. And Western Outdoor News writer, he's going to be a great guest tomorrow. That's next Saturday, 7 to 9 a.m. And then next Sunday, another great guest, Captain Fred Huber from the Daily Double. And Ricky should be back from Panama if he survives those 7 days down there, in which he will. He'll have some good stories there to tell next Sunday. So that's a great weekend of shows. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. We'll see you next week right here on the Mighty 1090.